Welcome to Life's Rich Tapestry, a podcast exploring the narrative of people's layered lives. Listen in on courageous conversations spoken from the heart. Gain insight into another's life as we tackle compelling topics which will expand your mind, help you gain perspective, and might even inspire you to do things differently. My name is Evelyn, and I look forward to your company. And welcome to another episode of Life's Rich Tapestry. My next guest has been a seeker all of her life, leading her to the bigger questions. Who am I? Is there a God? And why am I here? This self-inquiry led to a deep fascination with the tarot, Buddhism, and the healing arts in her late teens and early 20s. She was drawn to a career in hairdressing and found it gave her a deep insight into human behavior, social structures, and family dynamics. In 2009, she opened a salon in Forster, New South Wales, specializing in dreadlocks, with a few years later setting up Dreadlocks Sydney. Now, Jenny has been fortunate to combine both her love of dreadlocks and the healing arts, creating two sustainable businesses. Not only does she create dreadlocks and heal with the tarot, but she also offers both skills in the form of workshops and training. I'd like to welcome Jenny to the show.
Thank you, Evelyn. Thanks for having me on
your
show.
Yeah, no, it's so good to have you. Now, I just want to start at the beginning because all stories have a beginning. So where did you grow up?
Sure. So the first 10 years of my life, I grew up in Bexley, which is not far from Sydney City. And then I moved to the Southern Shire. So I did lots of my schooling and in a high school over in the Shire area.
What sort of family? Did you have brothers, sisters?
I did. I've got a sister, an older sister, and my mum and dad just grew up in a really lovely family. Then my parents got divorced when I was 10. Then my dad moved to the Southern Shire and my mum stayed around Heathcote area. So I kind of went back and forth for a little while, but then eventually I lived with my dad, moved in with my dad when I was 14. And that was quite interesting.
And did your love of tarot and Buddhism, did it start during that time?
So my fascination in the tarot started when I was probably around 18, 19. I was just randomly given a deck of tarot cards. They just randomly came to me. I just was extremely interested in the images and I was really drawn into them. And that particular pack had an apprenticeship book and I just did the apprenticeship and I just was so fascinated in it. I just knew that it could reveal to me parts of myself that I couldn't get to just on a conscious level.
What specific deck was it?
So this was the mythic deck. Yeah, so that works on Greek myths and archetypes. So it's more around Western psychology.
The one that seems to be quite popular is the Rider-Waite. Is
yes,
that correct?
That's the Rider-Waite.
So this one, it still has the same amount of cards, or explain that,
yes,
how that works.
So it still has the same amount of cards, which is the 78 cards. Although the way that this deck is designed is it's designed around Western psychology, where you'll find that the Rider-Waite deck is more designed around, I would say it's around the Renaissance time. So the images really reflect the Renaissance and connect deeply, I suppose, with the areas of France and Italy. But this particular deck is interesting because it does connect deeply with the psyche on a more of a Western level. So I find that it's through our own psychology that we can understand ourselves through this deck a lot more.
So would the Ace of Cups be similar in meaning if it was picked in the
Rider-Waite?
Okay. Would that be a similar meaning?
Absolutely. So all of the archetypes have the same meaning. So they all are drawing upon this collective archetype. So, for instance, your Ace of Cups would be representing an upsurge of loving energy within all of the tarot. Any deck that you would get would be representing that same archetype. But the different decks then might represent a different tradition or a different culture or a different storytelling. So you might have a Celtic deck, you might have a deck with fairies, you might have a deck with dragons. So people, I suppose, are drawn to something they feel inherently connected with, and that deck would then maybe represent, or they'd feel connected with that deck for a deeper reason.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I have met a few tarot readers and they seem to have so many different decks of cards, and then they usually ask the client what deck to choose. Is that what you do, or do you always use your same deck?
I always use my same deck. And then I do have clarifying decks, so then I will then use another deck for a clarifier sometimes. That's a new technique, I must say, that I have probably brought along the way for the past 2 years. I've found that as you gain more knowledge on your journey of tarot, you can bring more ideas or more creative ways to do a reading. So, yeah, I always stay with my same deck.
To tell you the truth, that makes more sense. But I have seen tarot readers where they have so many different decks of cards, and I think they probably just want the client to have a choice. And the clarifying deck, would you use a clarifying deck if the client asked a question and you just want to see if the same card came up?
So a clarifier would be, we want to kind of get deeper into the question or the inquiry at hand. We get an opportunity to just go further and deeper with that particular question. So, for instance, a clarifier might be, give me some insight around this relationship. Something might come up around a breakup. And then we might then say, can you give us some clarity around, you know, for instance, the breakup might be, for instance, could be a breakup with a family member. The breakup might be with a potential partner. So we can really unpack that a little bit further, you know, who is this breakup with?
Do you find when clients come to you that they come and ask specific questions?
Firstly, what we would do is I'll do a general read, first of all, and so that will give us a snapshot of what's happening in the client's life in the present moment. Then after that, I give them an opportunity to ask certain questions. So a question might be around their health. It could be around their love life, relationships, could be around their career, could be around their soul journey. So, yeah, because some people find it difficult to conjure up a question. They're not really sure. They might be a little bit nervous or, you know, feeling a little bit anxious about asking a question.
What spread do you find is the most beneficial?
So the best one I find is called the Celtic Cross spread.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. That's one that probably everyone's heard about, but it is a really great snapshot into having a look at someone's life in the present moment.
If you could just kind of clarify for the listeners out there, because they might be thinking, okay, tarot, is that related to being a psychic or,
So every person has their own unique psychic ability or intuitive abilities, and every reader will be using a different psychic channel or a different intuitive ability. For some readers, you'll see that they're a medium, and a medium is someone that's connecting with spirit guides and people that have passed over. Then you have a clairvoyant, and that's different again. So then they will be having visions, and that's why we call them clairvoyants. So that's more about vision seeking, vision seeing. Their intuition will come through to them through visions. And then we have a clairaudience, and that's someone that's having their intuition come through sound and hearing. And then we have a clairsentient, which that's how I work. I'm very much feeling, so I'm feeling into your auric field. And then as soon as you relax, then your auric field will then light up, and then we'll start chatting in that way. And then you have a claircognizance, and that's someone who has very clear knowing. And so insight will come down in through their thoughts. But it's not like a thought, it's just an extremely clear knowing. And so for me personally, I work with claircognizance and clairsentience.
Okay, and then the cards help you to delve further. I'm assuming that's how that works.
Yeah, absolutely. They actually do. And there's a couple more that I might add there. There's also a psychic. Now, if we have a look at the origin, the original word of psychic, it actually is a Greek word for soul. So it's interesting because an original psychic will be someone who's reading your soul.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And and that works really beautifully with the cards that I read, because I read the Greek mythic deck, which is very connected with the soul.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm really reading into your soul's journey. It starts lighting up. It starts talking to me. And the more relaxed you are and the more comfortable you feel, the more I'll be able to feel into your auric field and also your soul energy. And, so that becomes very clear.
Now, this is going to go off topic a little bit, but not really, because you did mention in the bio that hairdressing gave you a deep insight into human behavior, social structures, and family dynamics. So can you clarify that?
Yes. So I was a hairdresser for a long time, and hair probably wasn't my forte, but I really enjoyed connecting deeply with people. And what I witnessed when I had my own salons is that a whole family would come in. So I would get to do the mum's hair, the sister's hair, the grandfather's hair, the daughter's hair, the granddaughter's hair. And I would start to see patterns in these family dynamics, and I'd start asking questions, well, why is she not getting on with her, and why is she having anxiety, and why is that one depressed? And I started to see that there was these patterns forming, and things would reveal themselves to me as well. And I suppose I just became very good at asking certain questions to understand more about people. So I would say my hairdressing was almost like an invitation into understanding people on a really personal level. And you start to pick up on these little nuances. And for instance, I could eventually look at someone and in regards to their family dynamic and their cultural background, I could then probably see, especially in the energetic field, well, that would be someone that's working in finances, and they probably also have a second job, and they're probably married and they're living in blah, blah, blah. There were these things that would be revealed to me, and that was also around conditioning. So if you're still living in the conditioned mind, that would be the probabilities of how you're living.
Mm-hmm.
But then, hopefully we want to grow out of our conditioning and move more into an awareness and a conscious decision making, which then you find people move out of those patterns.
I do find that when I go to my hairdresser, I tell them everything.
I do.
So it is, I don't know, maybe because we're so relaxed, we're sitting down, we're getting made to look beautiful. So you really liked dreadlocks, though. How did that interest develop?
Look, I have loved dreadlocks forever. Like, for as long as I can remember, I've been fascinated with dreadlocks. And I noticed that, especially in the high-end salons that I was working in, the other hairdressers didn't like them, and I couldn't understand why. I thought, well, it's still a hairstyle, and I find it really interesting. And I found that people that had dreadlocks were even more so interesting, because I found that they were people that were asking the bigger questions. They were on the fringe of society in their own way. They were making a statement.
Yeah.
And their hair was also a reflection of them making a certain statement, maybe a period in their life or just who they are.
How do you get a dreadlock? How does that work?
Sure. So there's two methods of dreadlocking. One is the natural organic way, and just don't brush your hair. If you don't brush your hair, eventually it will go into dreadlocks. And that's where you see a lot of the religious, spiritual sadhus and people like that that just sit and meditate. Eventually their hair will move into dreadlocks. And then you do have the professional way of doing a dreadlock, which we need to obviously section the hair, back comb it, and then we use a crochet hook. And what the crochet hook does is it pulls all of those little hairs in together and forms a nice, neat-looking lock.
That's interesting. I did read somewhere that you felt the lock. What does that actually mean?
So felting a lock could be around maybe putting felt around the lock.
Okay.
Yes, so that might be a style. So
that's interesting. Okay.
Decorating the lock. So lots of people do that with felt.
I know there's probably this misconception that you can't wash your hair.
Yes.
Isn't there? Because I mean, I must admit, I think that because I don't know.
Yes.
I don't really know. So I just think, oh, God, dirty. Yuck. I mean,
Sure. So it's actually
what
the
is
opposite.
That? Okay, okay.
Yes. So it is actually the opposite. So to have really good, mature dreadlocks, you need the hair to be really dry and very clean. So if there's lots of oil in the hair, then the dread's not going to mat up and it's not going to form a mature dreadlock. So what we really advise the client to do is to dry the hair out with specific dreadlock products, keeping it as clean, not as clean as possible, but pretty clean to take the natural oils out of it, and that will help the dreadlocking process.
Can someone learn to do their own dreadlocks, or how does that work?
I definitely wouldn't suggest doing your own dreadlocks. Okay. I get a lot of people ringing me up and saying, I actually thought I would try to do my own dreadlocks. I'm sitting here with 15. It's taken me all day. Can you help me? It is something that you have to learn to do. It is a skill. I'm just really lucky that I had all of the 20 years of hairdressing to kind of really put me at the forefront of the dreadlock trade. But it is something that you need to learn, that skill, because you've got to really look at how much hair does that person have? What's the sectioning that we need to use to give that person that particular style? And you need to really be able to get your dreadlocking skills to make a really nice tight dreadlock. You need to get that. You need to be able to do it in a certain amount of time, because your client doesn't want to sit there all day, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
And you need to make sure you're giving your client a product that's professional and lasting.
Okay, okay. I've seen some people with dreadlocks and there's only like a few because they're all matted up,
yes.
You know, so that's...
Now, that's a problem.
That's a problem.
Because what basically has happened there is they haven't done any home care. So they've just let these dreadlocks either just form naturally, or they may have got their dreadlocks done and they've never gone for maintenance. So what the maintenance helps you to do is we need to then separate all the dreadlocks, and then we need to maintain the roots of the dreadlock and then also help tighten it. So when people come in for new dreadlocks, I really advise that they come and get them tidied up, retightened at least 3 to 4 times for the first 12 months.
Okay.
And then they can relax that process a little bit more. But you do need to come and get them maintained at least 2 or 3 times a year.
Yeah. And how many locks do you think works well with a person's head of hair? Like how does that work?
So I probably say anywhere in between for very fine hair, and people can still get dreadlocks for fine hair, can give you volume. I probably say around 25 to 30. And then for thicker hair, you're looking anywhere from say 30 to some people have 60, 70. And then you've got people that have those very, very thin dreadlocks, and they can go up to 140 dreadlocks.
Okay. So nothing is weaved into the hair except, like you were saying, if it was felt. I actually totally read that wrong, because when I said felting, I thought it was, I wonder what that means.
Yes.
But I got it now. So it's actually putting felt material in the hair.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Yes.
But can you put something else in the hair? Like, do people put other hair in their hair?
People think that could be a good option if they've got fine hair, but it's actually really not, because then you're just going to have to keep adding more and more hair to a section that's just not thick enough or strong enough to hold that dreadlock. So I suggest just go with your natural hair.
Okay. How is the trend now with dreadlocks in 2022?
It's so good.
Is it really?
It's great.
That's so interesting.
Yes, and that's a lot to do with the Vikings
show
that's on the series.
Yes, Game of Thrones. And all that. Okay.
Yes.
I totally get it. Even with me being a wedding celebrant, there's lots of hand fasting ceremonies happening, and I love all that stuff. So, Oh, wow. And I actually met you at a wedding because
we did.
Yes, and he had those beautiful dreadlocks. Did you do his hair?
Have done Jaden's hair, yes.
Okay, because he has amazing dreadlocks. And that's all his hair, obviously.
Yes, that's
and
all his hair.
And it's very long.
It is.
Okay.
Yes, and I think I can remember doing his dreadlocks all the way back in about 2013. That's a long time back
now.
Yes.
Wow. Mm. So he kept the maintenance up, and because it looked really good.
Beautiful.
I remember it looked amazing.
Yes.
Looked amazing. Sorry, we've digressed a little bit, that's how we initially met. And
yes.
Thank you for all that. I find that so interesting. Now, when people want dreadlocks, do they come to your home, or do you go to their place, or how does it work?
So now they come to my home. I do have a couple of clients that I travel out to, but yeah, it's usually just all in my home. Yes.
Okay, great. Now you live in the Blue Mountains. How long ago did you move to the Blue Mountains?
Probably around 9 years ago now.
Okay.
Yes.
And is that when you started your tarot business and your dreadlock business
then? Yeah, I had the dreadlock business going before that, hence it being called Dreadlock Sydney.
Yeah.
And then I just moved it up to the mountains. But the tarot is something that I have been doing on and off for a long time professionally. When I was younger, I was working in Ibiza. I've worked in London and done festivals and things like that with the tarot. But then really honing it in as my main focus as a business has been around probably about 6 years.
And with your training, do you train people how to read tarot, or what sort of workshops do you have?
Yes, so I do train people how to read the tarot. I have online courses, which one's called Introduction into Tarot. So it's a really beautiful course for beginners. I have previously taught at Nature Care College, and then in COVID that kind of fell through. And so I created my own online courses, and then I've just continued to do my own online courses.
You do online readings. Now, how does that work?
It's so interesting. It works just as good as just doing a reading face to face. It's just really amazing. So basically, I just pick up on the person's energy. I'm shuffling the cards. I ask them to tell me when to stop shuffling. And so when they ask me to stop shuffling, I then put the cards into three separate piles. They will pick a pile that they're feeling most connected with. And then off we go.
There you go. Yeah. Yep. Then you just do the Celtic cross. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. Do you think being fine currently in 2022, there is more of an interest? I know there's an interest in dreadlocks, but what about tarot?
Oh, it's really, I feel like it's just gone to a whole new level. Absolutely. Yes. I'm just finding now, if you're not having a conversation about your growth, about what you're moving through, what you've become more aware about, and what you're moving through, then they're all, it's almost like you're just way behind
the ball game. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I know. There has been this awakening.
Yes.
Everyone's sort of been awakened to something.
Absolutely.
You know, to this self-development. There's an awakening towards mental health as well. It's been huge as well. And yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Now I did read somewhere that the tarot is linked to psychology, and that's the deck that you use. It's more linked towards psychology. And you also mentioned Carl Jung in something that I was reading.
Yes, so. Because there is a beautiful cohesion of working with the collective consciousness and reading the tarot. You really have to bring your intuition and the reading in as a part of helping someone understand their life more. But in saying that, Carl Jung was a great psychotherapist, and what he really showed us is that there's so much part of ourselves that is unprocessed, unseen in the unconscious and in the subconscious. And the tarot can be a great tool for us to connect with those parts of ourselves that we just can't see consciously. So Carl Jung was deeply invested in understanding his dreams and the dream states. He was deeply invested in understanding ourselves on that subconscious and unconscious level. He just really believed that there was seeds of potential that were waiting for us in that space that wanted to be developed, that wanted to be seen. And the cards are a great tool to connect with that part of ourselves that we just can't get to in our conscious day-to-day lives. So Carl Jung really favoured the tarot.
Did he read those professionally?
Look, I think we definitely wouldn't have read them professionally. I haven't heard of that, but I know that he was a lover of the tarot.
Okay, yes. Okay. I've taken a tarot course a few years ago, and one thing the tarot teacher was teaching me is to pull your own cards, like to read yourself, which I find quite interesting. What do you think about that?
I have found that, to be honest. That's taken me years of practice.
Okay.
I'm really great at reading for others.
Yeah.
But when it's up to me to read for myself, I can then just project some of my own ego onto that. I can just allow myself to read it any which way.
Yeah, I think so too.
Suiting me in the present moment.
Yeah,
what I've found is that I'll take a couple of cards out of the deck if I'm asking something, and then I'll take a couple of hours away from that, or even the next day I'll look at it the next day when I've got some space between me and the reading.
When is your next workshops?
So I'm starting a workshop next month. We're still looking at getting the dates sorted because it's going to be quite a nice pretty good group, and I just want to make sure that the group's got all of the dates sorted. But yes, when we do them, they're usually in an evening, so it's usually a Wednesday or a Thursday evening from around, say, 6:30 to 8:30.
And they're obviously in the Blue Mountains.
Yes. That's, so, well, the next course that I'm doing will be an online course. So it's via Zoom. So anyone can do the course. All they basically need is a set of tarot cards. It doesn't have to be the Mythic deck. If they can get the Mythic deck, it's great. You can get the Mythic deck for about $40 online. That's the new version. But yeah, so the way that I've set the course up, it's an 8-week course.
Okay.
It goes for the 8 weeks. It goes for 2 hours. For 8 weeks.
Okay.
And then they can record it as well via the Zoom. So if they ever want to go back to going back through some of the lessons, they can.
Okay. Okay. I'll have all that information in the show notes and all your website and all that and Instagram. So if anybody would like to contact Ginny also for the dreadlocks as well.
Yes.
Hey, and do both. Why not? I absolutely love that. Now, what is the one thing that you love most about what you do?
So the one thing that I love is transformation. When I see someone get that aha moment, or I see that they can make a conscious connection between themselves and their own healing.
Yes.
And when you get to witness that and be a part of that, it's just magic.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And you know what? You can experience that in a tarot card reading. And after you've done their dreadlocks.
Yes.
I find that amazing.
Yes.
That is so, I love that. Now, was there any last thing that you wanted to share?
No, I just want to say thank you so much for having me here. And it's just been a real pleasure talking to you, Evelyn.
Yeah, no, it's been lovely. Thanks so much, Ginny.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your company. Please tune in next week to Life's Rich Tapestry, where you will hear another courageous conversation spoken from the heart.